This past weekend, many of us witnessed the most entertaining, the most electrifying, the most captivating concert in nationally televised history. Yes, if you missed it, sorry for you. But Usher, Will.i.am, Her, Alicia Keys, Ludacris, and Lil Jon put on a show for the ages. Let me tell you. What? Okay, I hear you. Yeah. What an amazing Super Bowl, man. That was quite possibly the most unapologetically blackest Super Bowl halftime that we've had ever. Listen, we can't get too comfortable with this, right? Man, that's 4 years in a row. You know, last year was Rihanna. The year before that was Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. They threw Eminem in there for some diversity. The year before that was The Weeknd. I mean, look, how many times they gonna do this? I'm for it. I'm in for it. But anyway, Super Bowl halftime show. I hear that that concert was accompanied by a sports ball game. I mean, something like that. There was a football game that happened that night. It was quite brutal to watch in the first half. But, you know, I've come to understand that American football is a full contact sport. It is full contact. Those who carry the ball can expect to be hit every play of the game. Those who carry the ball, who are going after the goal line, can expect to be chased down, knocked down, put on their butt every play of the game. It is quite violent. As a matter of fact, the opposing team only goes after the one with the ball. Everybody else on the team, they could be opposing teams, but the other team is not going after anybody except for the one who's making progress. But in American football, everybody on the team can eventually, at one point in their career, they can expect to be injured or hurt at some point in their career. That's just how the game goes. Injuries come with the sport. If you're in the game, you may get hurt. Some of the athletes that I know, I used to be an athlete, retired a long time ago. But some athletes, in order to recover quicker, they apply the rice plan. Anybody know the rice plan? Rest, ice, compression, and elevation. Right? If you hurt your leg or something, you do that, and hopefully you'll be back on the field faster. You see, if a player is injured, they have to take the appropriate amount of time. If a player is injured, they must get the appropriate healing. If a player is injured, they must get the appropriate help before they can get back on the field, or else they will do further damage. Such is the church. The church, God has intended the church to be a full contact, fully engaged experience. Where we all get in. We don't sit on the sidelines. He's not interested in bench riders. He wants everybody who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and King to get in the game. He wants you to belong to the team, not just peep in from your television. You see, everybody who fully engages in this sport will experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody who engages in this sport will experience the life-changing impact of Jesus Christ. Everybody who gets involved in this sport will engage in love of neighbor and connection with other human beings. Every person who engages fully in this sport can expect to get hurt every now and then. If you get involved in church, you will experience some pain somewhere along the line. If you get involved in church, you will stump your toe or break a leg. Something will happen that will harm you. That harm may come from your enemy who's chasing you down because you're making progress with the ball. Or that injury may come from friendly fire. A lineman who falls down and rolls over on your ankle can cause an injury unintentionally. I want to commend those of you who are here today who have experienced some church hurt, yet you still showed up. I want to commend those of you who are here today who have been injured in church. Somebody talked about you. Somebody said something negative to you. Somebody mistreated you. Somebody misguided you. And somebody upset you, and you're still here. Praise God for you. You see, sometimes in church, you get hurt by a regular person, a stranger, somebody who you've never seen before. Sometimes you get in the church and somebody on the choir or the worship team hurts your feelings. Sometimes you get in the church and the pastor hurts you. Sometimes you get into church and the person closest to you, like your small group leader, like your best friend, the person you sit next to, the person you're sitting right next to right now, can say something that will completely damage your soul. You know why? Because the people we let in closest to us, we've let them into our hearts. And when they break that trust or do something to harm us, it hurts us worse than if a stranger did it. Those of you who are here today and you have been hurt by church, you've been hurt by somebody in church, you've been hurt by the news about churches and pastors and things of that nature, I just want to take a moment and say, I'm sorry. I apologize on behalf of all of your hurt. I apologize on behalf of pastors who have taken you down the wrong direction or hurt you down the line, who have misguided or hurt you. I apologize on behalf of small group leaders who have said the wrong thing or done the wrong thing or talked behind your back or mistreated your trust. I apologize on behalf of church to you. And I am saddened that you have been through the challenges that you have been through. I do want to say this, that Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, that in this life you will experience some trouble. You will experience some hurt, some sadness. These things are unavoidable. You will face some tensions, some trials, some tribulations in this life. You will get hurt. You will get let down. And life is just like that. You see, life is not a series of celebrations. There are ups and there are downs. The sad reality is that the church is not exempt from any of this. No, no. You see, the church is a collection of imperfect people who choose to journey with Jesus together, and they commit to lifting each other up when one falls down. That's what a church is supposed to be. We don't always act like we're supposed to. How we handle our hurts will determine the trajectory of our destiny. And that's why I believe God has led us to a particular passage of scripture today. We will be in Acts chapter number 28. If you have your Bibles, you could turn them on or open them up. Follow along with us. If you don't have a Bible, we'll have it up on the screen just for you. I'll be reading from the New International Version. But in this story, we will read of the Apostle Paul. We will see a man who has been hurt significantly. We'll see a man who's been making all kinds of progress for the kingdom of God, and he's still hurt, and he sticks with community. Let's look at it. Verse number one. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Verse 7. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him. After prayer and placing his hands on him, he healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. Holy Spirit, have your way. Amen. The Apostle Paul is unapologetically following Jesus Christ. He is making touchdowns on the football field. He's got the ball. He's doing great things, right? And because he's making so much progress, watch this, he is seized in chapter 21. You see, the Jewish folks don't like the progress that he's making for the kingdom of God because he's not doing it their way. They actually, if you read chapter 21, 22, 23, all the way up to this, they're lying on him and saying that he is coming against the law of Moses, that he is teaching people to go against Moses, which he never was. And so what did they do? They captured him. They seized him in verse 21. They beat him and they had him arrested by the Roman guard. He was treated unjustly, and because of that, Paul shows his cards and he demands to be seen or to present his case to Caesar. He says, "I am a Roman citizen. Is this how you treat Roman citizens?" And then it says they got scared, because if Caesar found out that we treated a fellow Roman like this, we're going to die. They asked him, you sure you really a Roman? He was like, "I was born a Roman. Go check my paperwork." And so he demands to be seen by Caesar or present his case. And so they gather him with 275 other people, and he is transported. They are transported by boat on their way to Rome. Now, on their way, while on board, an angel of God comes to see Paul on the boat. And he tells Paul, he gives Paul a warning and says, "Hey, you watch this. This boat is going to fall apart. This boat is about to go into a storm and you are going to be shipwrecked. But watch this. No lives will be lost." So Paul believes the angel, goes and finds the officials and say, listen, y'all, we got to dock. We got to go a different way, but something, because we're about to hit a storm." They say, "Man, don't know what you're talking about. You're a prisoner." And so they don't listen. And what happens? They hit a storm. They hit such a violent storm that it rips the boat apart. Everyone has to go overboard. and they find the nearest piece of land and have to either grab onto a piece of wood from the ship or swim over to this nearest island. That's where we pick this story up. They picked this story up because they got to the island safely. The natives of the island, they helped them to get ashore and to get warm. And Paul attempts to return the favor by helping them to build a fire that will benefit everybody, that will keep everybody warm. But unfortunately, as Paul is attempting to gather the materials to build with, he's bitten by a venomous snake. The people judge him because of what happened to him. See, in their mind, when a snake bites somebody, that means God is upset with you. God wouldn't have let that happen to you if you was really on God's side. Paul then survives. He exceeds everyone's expectation. He survives the snake bite. And he doesn't let the people's opinion stop him. He goes on to the governor's house. Finds the governor's father, who is laying sick, lays hands on him, and heals him. And the word gets out about Paul, and all the sick people on the whole island come and see Paul and get healed. That's the story. We can close the book. End of the message, right? I believe that God has something to say to us through this story. I believe, especially for those of us who have experienced some type of hurt in our lives, some type of church hurt, where the church has disappointed you, or someone who's claimed to be a Christian has done something against you, and you've experienced some type of trouble, some type of pain, some type of trauma. Watch this. I believe that God has something to say to you today. Paul has been through it. He's been through the ringer. And some of us have experienced some of the same things that Paul has experienced, like abandonment, like religious hypocrisy, like physical pain, mental anguish. And he endured all of that. He stuck with the community and got through his pain. How did Paul do it? How did Paul maintain his faith? How did Paul stick with community in the midst of all of this, even going through his pain? How did he do it, and why did he do it? I think he gives us some clues. First thing that Paul teaches us is that you have to welcome support. You have to learn how to welcome support. You see, when the natives saw that this boat, it was shipwrecked and people swimming to shore, watch this, they helped the crew get to shore safely. They lent a helping hand. I hear what you're saying. Gary, I didn't come here for that. That's just surface, Gary. That's not deep. Come on, man. That's the point. All you're going to tell me is that let somebody help you? Yeah. Maybe. You see, as we dig a little bit deeper and we look at the etymology of the Greek language, the word here that is used for islander is the word barbaros. That word translated into English is the word barbarian. Now, unfortunately, in our Western culture, we have an image that immediately pops into our head when we hear the word barbarian. Because we've been misinformed. We've been told a story that actually just helps one group of people. You see, this word barbaros or barbarian in Greek actually means one who is different than you. One who speaks another language that you can't understand. Look it up for yourself. That is the definition of this word. So why is that important? Why, Gary, would you pull that word out of all the words in verses 1 and 2? I believe because God is speaking to each one of us today that no matter who you face or who you come in contact with, just because someone is different than you, just because they may not dress the way you dress or look the way you look or come from the side of the tracks that you come from or speak the same language that you speak or even believe the same thing that you believe, believe, watch this, they are not disqualified from helping you. When God sends help your way, you better accept it. I don't care what color the people are. I don't care what language they say. I don't care what they look like, what they dress like, where they come from. You should be willing to humble yourself and accept help when you need it. Some of us today, we need to accept the help of a therapist. You need to go and get yourself into some therapy. Some of us here need to get into a small group. You need that spiritual support, that relational support in your life. You've been isolating yourself and running from God too long. You need to get in the game. Some of you need to accept the help of a best friend who's trying to direct you to Jesus, but you keep pulling away because of the pain that you might have experienced. Paul makes a move here. It's a beautiful move. Let me tell you what he teaches us first. The second point that he teaches us is that we need to participate in our own progress. If you are hurt, don't just sit on the sideline. Participate in your own healing. You see, it's cold and raining. He tells us in the text. Luke actually writes this. It's cold, it's raining, it's uncomfortable. They just been shipwrecked, man. Can you imagine your ship falling apart, you jumping in the water, and now you trying to swim and get over here to this land, and you're wet, your clothes are wet. You don't have no change of clothes. You got to get warm. You don't have any shelter. But these natives helped them to come to shore and build a fire. They want to keep them warm and out of the rainy conditions. Paul doesn't just sit on the sideline and say, oh, yeah, y'all do that. I see what y'all doing. Paul makes a move, and he helps to build the fire with them people. He gets involved. Instead of sitting on the sideline and complaining, instead of getting frustrated with how things are going and they're not going my way, instead of fussing and cussing and complaining that this fire is not hot enough, Paul gets up off of his butt and goes and gets some wood for the fire. He goes to get building materials. He's helping to build something with these people. For those who think that the fire is not hot enough, Paul is asking you a question. What are you bringing to reignite the fire? To those who think that the fire is not blazing enough, that things are not going the right way, going your way, Paul says, how many sticks have you gathered? How many sticks are you bringing to the fire? Are you contributing, or are you sitting by the fire just absorbing all of the resources? Let me get off of that. Y'all might not come back next week. Here. Praise God. One person be here next week. Here is why many of us don't participate in our own progress. It's right here in the text, verse number 3. Because Paul gets hurt. Many of us don't participate in the process because last time I got in there, I got hurt. Last time I got involved, they talked about me. Last time I got involved, somebody left me all alone. I had to move all the chairs by myself. Last time I got involved, they did whatever they did, and I'm not putting myself in that position again. Church folk. Paul gets hurt. He gets bit by a snake. And maybe there's somebody here who's been hurt while they got engaged in church work. You started volunteering and you got hurt. You started leading a small group and you got hurt. You started coming more than twice a month and you got hurt. You started giving a tithe and that's when you got hurt. Let me tell you this. Hopefully it'll bless you. Only stick gatherers get hurt. Only the running back, the wide receiver, the quarterback, the person with the ball making forward progress gets tackled. Only the person attempting to make a touchdown gets chased. If you're sitting on the bench, ain't nobody after you. There is no way you can be effective in building Holy Spirit ministry that is on fire for God without getting bit sometimes. The question is, how will you handle your bites? How are you handling your injuries? How are you handling your hurt? Are you taking your ball and going home? Because you're not getting healing there either. Here's what I want to say. Paul was not hurt by the church. Paul was not hurt by the church, and neither were you. Paul was hurt by a snake that was hiding out in the community. There was a snake hiding in that community. There was a snake hiding in the bushes. There was a snake over there on the sideline just waiting for somebody to move. Because I'm going to get him. He was hurt by the snake who was hanging out in the community. And what I said, isn't it amazing? All them other people sitting around, 275 of them, plus all the natives. And Paul is the one that got bit. The one who's standing up for Jesus. The one who's the trailblazer, planting churches, mentoring young folks to make them leaders. The one who's doing all of this great work for God is the one who gets bit. All these people sitting around here, Jesus. You ever felt that way? God, I've been putting all this time and effort in. I've been giving my tithes and I still got bit. Woo, it's getting hot in here. Isn't it amazing that the snake didn't show up until they started building something? See, that's when the snakes show up in your life, when you start building something. That's when the snakes show up in your life is when you're starting to build something that's going to make some progress. That's when the snakes show up in your life when you're going to build something that's about to kill the snake. Watch this. When you start to get in a relationship, you start building that thing toward a marriage, that's when the snake's going to show up. When you start putting things together to build your own business for the very first time, that's when the snakes are going to show up. When you start building a ministry that's going to bless the entire Twin Cities, that's when them snakes going to show up. When you start getting involved in small group and doing the right thing for God, that's when the snakes going to show up. When you start giving an actual tithe off the gross, that's when the snakes going to start showing up. The snakes show up when you start walking for God. But if you don't have no snakes in your life, I'll leave it right there. The next thing that Paul teaches us, the third thing right here, is that we need to shake off the snakes. Yeah. You see, when Paul got bit by this snake, oh man, I'm over time. All right, here we go. I got one more point after this. When Paul got bit by that snake, watch this. He didn't go and get his phone out and go to social media and say, man, everybody, I got bit by a snake. Like, comment, subscribe. He didn't take a picture of the bite and say, hey, I'm going to post it on Instagram. Look at my snake bite. Look how deep it went. Ooh, it's nasty. Got venom running all out of it. Paul wasn't trying to call attention to himself because of his snake bite. No, what he did, what did Paul do? He acted like Taylor Swift and just shook it all. When the snakes show up in your life, sometimes you just got to shake them off. When somebody looks at you funny, sometimes you just got to shake it off. When somebody approaches you with some negative comments, sometimes you got to shake it off. When somebody comes at you and starts talking bad about you, gossiping behind your back or behind somebody else's back, sometimes you just got to shake it off. Sometimes when people spread your personal business and that, they breach your confidence, sometimes you just got to shake that thing off. You don't got to get in a fight with everybody. You don't have to confront everybody and be like, oh, I can't believe you said that about me. So what? What's this going to prove? I mean, you know. I'm going to stop right there. I'm supposed to be preaching. Now listen, shake it off doesn't mean that fake forgive and forget. Oh, Lord. Some of y'all Christians are going to come after me on this one. Shake it off does not mean fake forgive and forget. You know how some folks are, oh, they did all that, but you got to forgive everybody. Uh-oh, got quiet. If a snake bites you and is unrepentant, they don't deserve none of that. If a snake continues to bite you, don't put yourself in places to be bit by that same snake again. Get up out of there. Stop being bit and allowing yourself to say, oh, but I just keep forgetting you. Okay, I'm going to bite you again. No, run from the snake. Shake it off to me means this, that I am making a decision today that my past hurt, that my past problem, that my current problem, that problematic person and that pain that I'm going through is not going to have control over me anymore. I'm not going to let it hold me back. I'm not going to let it hold me back and hurt me anymore. I'm going to get the healing I need. I'm going to get the therapy I need. I'm going to get the counseling I need. I'm going to get the spiritual support I need. I'm going to go get the time and rest that I need. I'm going to get whatever I need to get back on track with God. Let these snakes hold me down. Last thing. Paul teaches us to stay the course. Stay the course. Verse number four. He says this in verse number four. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer. The haters come out. They made a judgment about him due to what was happening to him. Has anyone ever made a judgment about you because of what you've gone through? Has anybody ever made a judgment about you because of your health status? Has anybody ever made a judgment about you because of where you came from or what you look like or how you dress or how you speak? Has anybody made a judgment on you because of your external appearance or whatever was going on in your life? See, these people criticized Paul. They assassinated his character, but he teaches us a valuable lesson. He teaches us this lesson about community. He stuck around the community and let the Lord fight his battle. You see, he didn't go around fighting all the people. He didn't go around trying to prove his name right. He didn't go around trying to prove nothing to anybody, fighting anybody. Watch this. He just kept living. And it says, what's it? God changed their minds. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, verse number 15 says that the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. The question is, when are you going to stop fighting and step back and let God do what he does best? Let God get in there and do the thing. Let God get in there and fight your battles. Because every time you jump in there, God says, I'll take a step back. You think you can handle it? Go on and do it. And I'll stay here until you get too tired. Paul didn't allow his haters to stop him. He didn't allow his haters to throw him off course. He didn't even allow the snake to throw him off course. Watch this, because then in verse number 7, he says, he goes to the governor's home and he didn't allow his hurt to hinder him from helping somebody else. Hey, listen, helping somebody else might just be the healing balm and the medicine that you need to get your healing. Come on. When you extend your hand to somebody else, God steps in and say, oh, I got you now, my brother, my sister. I'm going to come and help you because you're helping somebody else. The text says that if we, Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, if we give, God will give back to us. He's waiting for you to make that first move. What you going to do? Do you trust God or not? If you trust me, God will slide in there and do for you. But sometimes God is sitting back like I'm waiting for you to make a move. What you going to do? So, listen, Paul goes and prays, lays hand on the man's dad, and he's healed. That threw me for a loop real quick because I was reading, and I thought this text was about Paul getting his hand bit and like he shook it off, right? I could do black preacher thing on that one, man. He shook it off, yeah. And you got to do, I could do all of that, right? But I'm like, wait a minute, why does it just take this big turn? It says, yeah, he shook it off. That was in the past. But here, he going healing people. Let me read it to you again. Paul goes, right, after prayer, placed his hands on him, and healed him. Yeah, somebody get it over here. But y'all, Paul goes to the man's house. He prays. He lays hands, and he heals him. I got five people. Paul goes to the man's house. He prayed, he laid hands, and he healed him. You getting it? That same hand that was hurt by that snake, that same hand that was wounded, that same hand that gave him problems is the same hand he put on that man to heal that man. You see, no matter what you've been through, God will use your hurts. God will use your past. God will use your story to help somebody else if you're willing to tell it. Let God use you. Let God use all of that stuff that you had going on in your past. And you just step out in faith and say, God, use whatever is in me to heal this person. So. All right, I'm going to move on down here because God used. I know I'm out of time. Here it is. I'm sorry. Kids ministry. I apologize. God used hurt hands to heal. God used hurt hands to heal. This was powerful about that because that sounds familiar. You ever heard of God using hurt hands to heal before? Because one day, my Savior was bit by some snakes. One day my Savior had some nails driven in his hands and he was up on a cross and he died. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, the first prophecy of Messiah, that the Messiah would be bitten by the snake. But that Messiah got some comeback power and that Messiah was going to raise from the grave and crush the head of that serpent. Listen, man. Listen, ladies. Listen, Jesus Christ has this comeback power. And Romans chapter 8 verse number 11 says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives on the inside of you. You got the same comeback power. No matter how far you've fallen away from God, you've got comeback power. No matter how many people have mistreated you, guess what? You've got comeback power. No matter how hurt you are right now or how hurt you've been in the past, you've got comeback power. Jesus Christ is working in your life because he makes dead things alive. Again, he's given you comeback power. So, yeah, y'all made a come on up here because y'all know I'm a preach all day. All right, I'm gonna leave you with this. Earlier, I told y'all that athletes heal by the RICE program, right? Rest, ice, compression, elevation. I got a new RICE program that I think we can apply to all of our friends who have been hurt by church. Every one of us knows somebody who's been hurt by church, hurt by somebody so-called Christian, hurt by something related to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ain't having nothing to do with it. Number one is rest. He wants us to rest. And he wants us to let people rest. You see, if you have a wound and you keep picking at it, it doesn't heal. So if you got a friend that's been hurt by church and church folk, give them some space. Stop being all up in their face. Number two is inquiry. When Paul saw that the man was injured, what did he do? He went in and inquired about him. He checked on him. Can we do the same thing in our lives with our friends? Let's not write people off because they don't believe in Jesus anymore or don't follow the church anymore or go to the same church you go to. Guess what? Inquire about them and show them you care. Number three, compassion. The word compassion means empathy with action. Empathy is worthless because empathy is just, I care all about you. But empathy without action is worthless. Empathy with action is compassion. If somebody in your life is going through some stuff, guess what? You step in and ask them, what can I do to help you? Meet them in the space where they are hurt and they can get better. Number four, encouragement. Every one of us needs encouragement, especially those of us who have been hurt, especially by the church. So we need to encourage one another. We need to support one another. We need to be there for one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing. See, good friends reflect the character of Jesus and encourage us to do the same. Jesus wants us to show him through us to somebody else that there is hope. Maybe you're here today and you've been hurt or you know somebody who's hurt. Maybe you talk to them, you're still in small group with them and they don't come around anymore. Maybe you just hang out on the weekends and they just always cursing the church, always putting pastors down. They always have something negative to say. I'm gonna ask you, I'm gonna challenge you to do something this week. Will you take a next step with me? Grab your Connect card. At the bottom of the Connect card, it says, my next step. Your next step that I'm asking you to do is this. Will you encourage one friend to try church again? I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that you don't have to do a whole bunch of work trying to convince somebody that church is good. You should do it. No, just say, hey, man, the church has blessed my life. This is what's going on in my life. I believe God can do the same thing for you. That's all you got to do. You don't have to jump through any hoops. I believe Jesus will do the work for you. So if you're willing to do that, write yes on that Connect card as your commitment to take that next step today. I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to invite the prayer teams. Prayer team, if you all would come forward as we get ready to get up out of here. But before you go, I believe that there's somebody here that is experiencing hurt currently. That there is some pain in your life that is unresolved. That there are some things that are going on in your life that you've been stuffing away and you have not received healing for yet. I believe God wants to break that today. Because that pain that you're walking around with, that sorrow, that desire to be free, but you won't bring it up or get prayer for it, you won't get free from it. You won't be broken. It won't be, the chains won't be broken. So listen, come on up for prayer for whatever you've been burdened with. Whatever you have going on in your life right now, the Holy Spirit wants to free you today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your love, for your peace, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for everything that we've experienced, everything that we've heard, for you meeting us right where we are. God, I just pray that you would come and move like a wind in this room. Touch every heart, every mind. To that person that feels like their hurt is unhealable, would you rest on them right now? And as we leave this place, God, would you be with us? Would you shine your light on us? Would you smile down upon us? Would you bring your face closer to us that we can experience your divine presence? As we go through this week, would you make yourself manifest in our lives in a new and fresh way? We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And please, come up here and get prayer. Don't leave the same way you came in.